Before I dismiss the children this morning, I want to do something special. This chapter in the book that we've been studying is, as I told you earlier, it's entitled, I Will Pray for My Church Leaders. Is that right? Is that the title? We'll pray for my church leaders. At least that's what it's, the gist of it is. And so I want to ask for our church leaders to come down to the front. If you're a Sunday school teacher, if you're a ministry leader, if you are a staff person, if you're one of our leaders, I want you to come to the front. Sunday school teachers, now. Now, come on. Come on, this is important. Vicky, Chad, y'all come on. Chad's going to be starting a Sunday school class. Prayer ministry. There's some others that aren't here right now. And they need your prayer right now too, because some of them are under the weather. Scripture instructs us to pray for our leaders. And so I want you to know that sometimes we're hesitant. Come on up here, David. You're a Sunday school teacher, man. Come on. Sometimes we're hesitant to ask for prayer. Or sometimes we say, oh, well, I need prayer when things are going real bad, and I'll ask for prayer at that time. That's true. We need prayer at that time. But folks, we need prayer all the time, and Scripture commands us to pray for one another. It commands us specifically to lift up our leaders. And so I want you to know that I covet your prayers. There are things that I have to make decisions on that I don't have the wisdom to do it. I don't have the intelligence to do some of it. Sometimes I lack the boldness to do some things. And so I need more power than I have. And that only comes from one place. And so I plead with you to please lift me up specifically. But all of us, all the leaders in the church, need your constant uplifting. So I'm going to ask Mike Burns to voice a prayer on our behalf this morning for our church leaders.
Father, we come to you today and praise you, Father. Father, I thank you for these men and women that have stepped up, Father, to answer the call that you put on their lives, Father, to teach in whatever capacity it is that you have them teach in, Father, from our little ones to our older ones, Father. Father, we always need instructions, Father, and you always give us people to fill those slots. And, Father, I pray this morning first for our teachers, Father, that you would give them grace, Father, that you would give them a constant urge to be in your word, Father, to seek after you and what words and what teaching you would have them to bring, Father. Father, I pray that they would never seek the world's advice, Father, but they would always seek you, that you, Father, would be the strength that they stand on, Father. I pray a hedge of protection around their families, Father, for each one, Father, that they would be protected from Satan, Father, that they would be protected from the world, Father. Father, that moms and dads would take care of their children, Father. They would teach them, Father, and bring them up in your word to seek and to chase after you, Father. Father, in Jesus' name, I pray that protection over each one, Father. Father, I especially lift up our pastor to you today, Father. I pray in Jesus' name that you would set that protection around his family, Father, around him, Father, for all of their health, Father, and all of these things, Father, for each one. And Pastor asked for it a while ago, Father, and I pray that each one would have a super strength of wisdom, Father, that you would give them from each one, Father. Solomon asked for it in the early years of his ministry, Father, and I pray that anointing, that wisdom that comes only from you, Father, Father, that the world can't even understand. How did these people get this, Father? But it comes from you, and I pray that wisdom upon them, Father. Father, and I pray discernment, Father. Father, I pray that each one of these teachers and ministers, Father, in their own capacity would have a discernment that only you can understand, Father. Father, that discernment and let them know what's true and what's false. As soon as they see it or as soon as they hear it, Father, I pray for that discernment. For all of these teachers and our pastor, Father, I pray that special hedge of protection around their families. Father, families so many times can affect us in what we do, in the way we go and the way we walk. Father, let that family be protected on each one of these families that's represented here. Let this church be full of your word and not full of the world, Father. Father, in Jesus' name, we ask you for these things. Give in your name and your glory for your honor and for your blessings in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you all. That's not a one-time deal. It's not a one-time deal. Pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. My main passage this morning is a very short verse. Paul, in the book of 1 Thessalonians, writing to the people at Thessalonica, simply says this, brothers, pray for us. Pray for us. And that's my plea to you this morning. Pray for us. Pray for us. We, as I said a while ago, there are many times when I feel overwhelmed. I'll sit down at my desk and I've got a to-do list. I've got complaint list. I've got, you know, more pressing issues over here, and then I'll have some phone calls, and then I've got decisions weighing heavy, and I get overwhelmed, and so please pray for us. Pray for us. We need wisdom, and we need encouragement. I am a man, and I struggle with what you struggle with, and I need to be lifted up. So please, as a pastor, sometimes I mistakenly think that those in the most need of my prayers in the church are those who are going through noticeable spiritual or physical weaknesses. I would imagine that if we're honest with ourselves, we've all thought that at times, or said something along the lines of, so-and-so is really going to need a lot of prayer. On the other hand, it's entirely right that we acknowledge that our brothers and sisters who have more noticeable weaknesses have a great need for our prayers. On the other hand, however, those to whom God has given gifts and graces are also greatly in need of our prayers. Contrary to what some might suppose, ministers of the gospel, pastors, Sunday school leaders, ministry leaders are desperately in need of your prayers. Pastors and leaders need prayer because they're ever the object of sometimes the flaming arrows of the evil one. In addition, the world is eager to run them over at any opportunity. As one of my seminary professors so poignantly put it, he said, ministers have a bullseye on their back and footprints up their chest. And sadly, this is even a reality for pastors within the context of the local church sometimes. With so much opposition and difficulty within and without the church, pastors and leaders constantly need the people of God to be praying for them. I need your prayers as much as you need my prayers. I am susceptible to the same weaknesses that all God's people are faced with. While there are many things that one could pray for pastors and leaders, I want to give you five specific scriptural areas that I would like to ask you to pray for your church leaders. The first one is to pray for their spiritual protection from the world, the flesh, and from the old devil himself. Pray for spiritual protection. Whether it was Moses' sinful anger leading to his striking of the rock, you know, God says, speak to the rock, and he took his rod out and he struck it. Or David's adultery and murder. Remember David? He he lusted after Bathsheba and fulfilled that, and then to cover it up, he had her husband murdered. King David, a man who was after God's own heart, the scripture says. Or maybe it was Peter's denial of the Lord 3 times. I don't know him. Never seen him. Don't know who he is. And then he went on. He was rebuked by Paul because Peter basically denied that justification was by faith alone. He said, well, you've got to maintain the law too. And Paul said, hang on, Peter. That's not what Jesus taught. Ministers are faced with the reality of the weakness of flesh, the assaults of the world, and the rage of the devil. There have been countless ministers who've fallen into sinful practices in the history of the church and so brought disgrace to the name of Christ. And since Satan has ministers of the gospel and their families locked in his sight, and since God's honor is at stake in a heightened sense with any public ministry of the word, members of the church should pray for their pastor and their pastor's family that they would not fall prey to the world, the flesh, or the devil. And I want to include all of our leaders. There is nothing more than Satan would enjoy than to tear down one of the leaders. Right? I mean, it's one thing when Satan attacks a nominal member, one that comes periodically or something like that. You kind of half expect that, right? And if somebody, you know, that shows up once or twice a month and is not active in much ministry or anything like that, if when they get attacked, it doesn't really impact the church as greatly as it would if it were one of the leaders of the church. I'm not saying that somebody's more important than the other. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying it has a bigger impact. Pray for spiritual protection. Number two, pray for their deliverance from physical attacks of the world and from the devil. I am under a physical attack right now. I went to the doctor on Friday and got a bunch of medicine, got some shots and some prescriptions, and I am fighting to stand up in front of you this morning. Many of you are going through the same thing. Many who are at home are too weak to come. They're going through the same, fighting through the same junk we've got. While under prison guard in Rome, the Apostle Paul, he encouraged the believers in Philippi to pray for his release when he wrote this. I believe I have this. There it is. And this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight. When Herod imprisoned Simon Peter, we learned that constant prayer was offered to God for him by the church in Acts chapter 12, verse 5. It says, so Peter was kept in prison, but the church was earnestly praying to God for him. And then later on, Luke writes in Acts that when Peter was released by miracle, miraculously, because of their praying, he went to the house. And guess what they were still doing? They were still praying. They were still praying. This is yet another example of the minister being delivered from harm, in part because of the prayers of the saints. We need your prayers. Please, please pray. The third area is pray for doors to be opened, for the gospel to be spread. In his letter to the Colossians, Paul asked the church to be praying in Colossians 4, chapter 3. He says, and pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message, so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, for which I am in chains. He said, oh, pray for doors to be opened. The success of the spread of the gospel depends in part on the prayers of the people of God. In this way, the church shares in the gospel ministry with the pastor. Oftentimes the pastor or the Sunday school teacher or maybe the women's ministry leader or the hospitality, the person that's taking care of somebody in a crisis. They're the voice, but they represent the body of Christ. And you get to share in that when you support through prayer. Though I may not be the only one in the body who's called to spread the word, I have a unique calling to do the work of an evangelist. And you help me fulfill this work by praying that the Lord would open doors for me to speak the word, to speak the mystery of the gospel of Christ. You share in that when you pray that doors would be opened for the gospel. The fourth area I would like for you to pray is that your leaders may have boldness and power to preach the gospel. I want to preach. I don't want to preach my agenda. I don't want to preach. I mean, I love John 3:16. I want to preach that, but there are so much more. There are certain things that require a certain boldness to approach because remember, I've told you before, I don't want to preach to you what you want to hear. I want you to preach to you what you need to hear. Amen. And sometimes that's a little uncomfortable. Sometimes that takes a little bit of boldness. And I must confess, sometimes I need more boldness than I have. And so I need you to pray for me that I would be bold to speak the deep truths of God, not just what itching ears want to hear. In addition to praying for doors to be open for ministry of the word, the people of God should pray that ministers would have boldness through the Holy Spirit. When writing to the church in Ephesus, Paul asked them to pray. Pray also for me that whenever I open my mouth, words may be given me so that I will fearlessly make known the gospel. And I will tell you, it works. Sometimes I'll get up here and I'll start speaking stuff that's not in my notes and I don't have any idea where it came from. Well, I do. I know it comes straight from God, but it's because somebody out there has been lifting me up. And here's the deal. If you want better sermons, you need to give me be better prayers for it. How about that? It's on you. I will study and I will dive in and I will do my part. But folks, even my very best is not good enough. And I need more. And I need you to ask the Lord to impart that to me. There's a well-known story of several college students going to visit the Metropolitan Tabernacle. They would hear Charles Spurgeon preach. And the story goes that Spurgeon met them at the door and he offered to show them around. And at one point, he asked if they wanted to see the church's heater plant, the boiler room. And he took them downstairs, where they saw hundreds of people praying for God's blessings on the service and on Spurgeon's preaching. The gathering of the people of God to pray for the ministry of the word is what he called the heating plant. That was his boiler room. That brought heat, fire into the church because there were people down there stoking the flames. And you see what I mean? It wasn't a physical boiler. It wasn't really a heating plant. But the prayers of the saints of God praying specifically for the message for their pastor created energy within that church. And he recognized that. He said, that's my boiler room. I need the heat. Believers can help ministers by praying that they would be given boldness and power in preaching the gospel. The fifth area that I desperately need your prayers is that your leaders might have a spirit of wisdom and understanding. We're about to approach some new things in our church. Making a few little changes and beginning with the children's program. Sunday school is going to kind of go through a modification. There are some other things as far as some leadership restructuring that we're going to be going through. And I want to be honest with you. I'm not positive how to do it yet. I just know it needs to be done. And so I want to ask you, please pray for me for wisdom in that. If you don't pray and it doesn't turn out like you like it, it's your fault. I need wisdom. I need more than I've got. One of the most pressing needs for a minister of the gospel is that he would be given the necessary wisdom to counsel, to know when to confront or mediate, and to discern the particular pastoral needs of a congregation. And it's an all-encompassing and a recurring need. It doesn't just happen once. It's on a continual basis. The minister is daily faced with particular challenges for which he desperately needs the wisdom of Christ. It is said of Jesus that in Isaiah 11 verse 2, it said, "The Spirit of the Lord will rest on him," speaking of Jesus, "the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and of power, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord." I want that. I need that. You need me to have that. Pray for it. Ask God. God, give him this. May the Spirit of the Lord rest on my pastor. May it rest on my Sunday school teacher. May it rest on my ministry leader. May it rest on those who come before you and bow in prayer. May the wisdom, the Spirit of wisdom and of understanding, the Spirit of counsel and of power, the Spirit and the knowledge of the fear of the Lord. Proverbs tells us, several places in the Bible tell us that the beginning of all wisdom is the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. If you don't fear the Lord, you can forget about wisdom altogether. And then that's just the beginning. That's just the beginning. The servants of Christ need the same Spirit that fell upon Jesus Christ. Much harm is done to the church as a whole if the minister does not proceed with the wisdom equal to the challenges with which he is faced. Those who benefit from the wisdom can help the minister by praying for divine blessing from heaven upon him, particularly in the area of wisdom and understanding. And I made a statement there. I'm going to read it again to you from my notes. Much harm is done to the church as a whole if the minister, the pastor, does not proceed with the wisdom equal to the challenges with which he is faced. Or even better, more wisdom than the challenges that we face. Folks, I'm not going to stand in front of you and say I have all the answers. I'm not going to stand in front of you and say I'm the smartest guy. I'm not going to stand here and say that I know more about the Bible than any of you out there. I'm not going to stand in front of you and say I have exactly the plan that we need to go and here's how we're going to do it and I'm going to do that. I don't have all that. To be a successful church, to be a church that reaches and teaches and does what Scripture's commanded us to be as a church, we're going to need this. We need it now. We have been needing it. We need it now more than ever. As we go on, like we prayed at the beginning of the service, this oppression. And folks, it's not contained in the Middle East. We're beginning to hear stories and read stories about the reach of this evil onslaught, this ISIS, or whatever they're going to call it next week. Folks, that's real. And even without that business, the rest of the junk that we face is big stuff. Addictions, failing marriages, trouble raising kids. Am I touching anybody yet? Financial trouble, employment trouble, depression. Am I touching anybody more yet? Losing loved ones, dealing with grief, trouble in school, trouble at work, trouble in my relationships, trouble getting right with God, trouble having devoted a quiet time of prayer for me and God to get alone and get face to face. Folks, those are the real issues. Those are real issues. And in order for us to approach those issues and for us to come together as a church and be effective and reach out and help people who are facing those same issues, we've got to have the Spirit of the Lord resting upon us. We've got to have the spirit of wisdom and of understanding, the spirit of counsel and of power, the spirit of knowledge and of the fear of God. Pray for these things. I encourage you. I implore you. I plead with you. Please lift up your leadership. We need it so, so desperately, more than we have. I will confess to you. I went to the doctor on Friday. I told you, and I kind of stumbled in there, not hardly able to open my eyes. I shouldn't have driven myself, but I was in bad shape. I had to get there somehow. I got there and I kind of stumbled in, and they called me back, and I was sitting there, and I was feeling low, and I had my head down. They came in, did all my blood pressure and stuff, and then the doctor came in, and she said, she came in, she looked at me, she turned around, and she shut the door. She came and said, "I know you were supposed to come see me today." She said, "I needed your encouragement today. Thank you." And I was like, "Are you kidding me? I'm here to see you. I'm the one that needs something here." And I just had this little bracelet on my wrist, and it just says, it's Philippians 4:13. "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." And she just looked at that and said, "I needed that from you today." I didn't even do anything. And I kind of posted, you may have seen that, I posted that on Facebook, and one of my friends posted back, said, "Man, even when you don't feel good." And it just reminded me of another passage of Scripture. "In my weakness, he is made strong." In my weakness, he is made strong. I'm confessing to you today my weakness. I am weak. I am weak. What a great opportunity for God to show off. Pray that he would. Pray that he would. Pray for that for all of your church leaders. Pray for that for yourselves. Pray that you would be bold. Pray that you would have the Spirit of God resting upon you, that you would have a spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and power, the spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. Folks, let me tell you something. When I say pray for your pastor, that's a little bit selfish, but I'm okay with it because Scripture tells me to tell you to do it. So pray for me. Pray for your church leaders. Pray for yourselves, because as a minister, as a Christian, you are a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ. You are a leader. You're a leader in your home. You're a leader in your workplace. You're a leader in your classroom. You're a leader wherever you are. You are to be a leader. Pray for these things for yourself too. God, who is so good and gracious to us, he wants to give us things. We talked this morning. Brenda made a note about the blind Bartimaeus. When Jesus was walking by, and he hollered at Jesus, said, "Lord," and Jesus said, What do you want?" Jesus knew that he was blind. He didn't say, "What is your greatest need?" He said, "What do you want?" He said, "I want to see. I want to see." You see, here's the deal. God knows our needs. But sometimes he's just waiting for us to want what we need. I want what I need right here in this passage of Scripture. I want you to want what you need, and it's found right here on this screen, right here in Isaiah chapter 11, verse 2. You need the Spirit of the Lord. You need wisdom. You need understanding. You need the spirit of counsel and of power, the spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. You need that. But do you want it? I want you to want what you need. Some of you need to want to come back to Christ. Some of you need to want to come and surrender yourself to him again and say, "Lord, I messed up. I've gotten all off on my own story and my own thing, and I've made it about some stuff that I'm real interested in." And some of you, there may be someone here that needs to come to Jesus for the first time and say, "Lord, I need to know you better. I know who you are, but I don't. I know your name. I know your stories, but I don't have a relationship with you. I don't know you personally, and I want to do that. And folks, if that's you this morning, I want you to come and see me here in just a few moments. I want to lead you in some prayer, show you some scriptures, and show you how God says to you, come to me. Come, all who are thirsty, come. If that's you this morning, I would encourage you to you come, you walk down, be bold. You walk down this aisle in front of these people and come here and say, I want Jesus Christ because I need him. Maybe you need to come and just kneel at the altar and spend some time. I've brought my personal altar that I keep in my office where I have spent many hours in prayer and some Bible study here. You can use it. I brought it out here this morning just to kind of share with you that this is a part of my private worship time that I brought out to share with you this morning. It's here. Use it if you want to come. It's anointed. It's holy. It's good. Just like this altar is. This altar has been anointed many times. Folks, we are standing on holy ground. Do you believe it? We covet your prayers. We need your prayers. Maybe even more than you realize. Would you be faithful? Would you be faithful? I'm going to ask you, if you would be faithful, if you would make a covenant, not to me, not to your neighbor, not to the person sitting next to you, not a covenant to the church, but if you would make a covenant with God to lift up your church leaders, I want to ask you to stand right now. God bless you. Thank you. I want you to know it encourages me to see so many of you willing to say, I will lift you up. I will pray for you. I will pray for our church leaders. I will pray for wisdom as we go through the processes of setting things in place. Thank you so much. We need that. We need that. I want to ask a prayer of blessing upon you as you pray for us. Father, I thank you for these that are standing. I thank you for these that have been bold enough to stand and say, I will support my leadership. I will lift them up because I realize they need it. I don't expect them to be smarter than what they are, but Father, I want to ask you to impart to them a special knowledge that they do not have. Give them wisdom that they do not have right now, Father. Give them boldness and strength that they need to do the task that's before them. Father, I thank you for these that are willing to do that, to lift us up. Father, I ask that you would just honor that and bless them. Father, bless those that are honoring and blessing you by praying for their leaders. I ask that prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. And as we stay standing, we're going to have a time of invitation. This is your time to respond. Maybe you just need to come and say, you know what? I've not been faithful to pray for my church leaders, and I want to begin that today. Maybe you just need to come to the altar. Maybe you want to use my little makeshift altar here. You're welcome to do it. You just come. I'll be here. Rebecca will be here. She stands with me. She's my partner in ministry. And if you're a lady and you would like to have prayer, Rebecca is glad. That's why she's here. This is your time. As we sing, you respond as the Spirit leads.